Amen. Thank you, young ladies, and thank you, Mrs. Potter, for all the time and effort that you've put into this fine arts. And I'll tell you, it doesn't just happen. I promise you that. A lot of practice, a lot of time, and a lot of effort on many, many people's parts. But thank you so much. What a blessing that is. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And verse 20, Numbers 32 and verse 20. Be in prayer for Dale Stewart, if you would. Dale was here this morning, and right before the morning service or at the beginning of the morning service, he started getting real dizzy and feeling like he was going to pass out. They took him into the hospital and found out that they wanted to run some more tests, and of course he's had some heart issues in that. And so he is at Bixby Hospital, going to definitely spend tonight. And they're going to run some tests. Already ran some tests, and I don't know that they were conclusive on anything, but just checking some things out. But be in prayer for Dale. I know he would appreciate that. I do not know of a more loyal, faithful man than Dale Stewart. He's a great, great man, and certainly I trust you will pray for him, that he'll get out of there quickly. I asked when we went to see him at the hospital, we saw Emily there, and I said to Emily, I said, is Grandpa giving the nurses a hard time? And she said, no, he's not. And I said, he is sick. Because you know Dale. I mean, that's how he is. But anyway, be in prayer for him. Numbers 32 and verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now we quote that verse often. In a whole different context. The context here is just simply doing what God said. The context, we always quote it that, if you think you're going to get away with drinking liquor, you think you're going to get away with this, that, or the other thing, understand you're not going to get away with it. And that is what the verse says. But here the context is one of the people certainly going and doing what God said to do, and going out armed before the Lord. In other words, not staying back and relaxing, but going out, fighting the battle, and doing what they're supposed to do. That is what they're supposed to do. But if they don't do that, God said, you've sinned. And then really the phrase that I do want to preach about tonight is, be sure your sin will find you out. It always does. Be sure your sin will find you out. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and please speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you for all the wonderful music and for the talent that you've given. And Lord, help us to be aware of the fact that we're accountable for that talent, and that each of us, we're accountable for what you've given us and abilities. And Lord, I do pray that this talent that we've heard tonight, all of it would be used for your honor and glory as it was tonight. And I pray it's prepared us now for the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter if it's a sin of doing something terrible, or if it's, as it was here, not doing something that God said to do. Be sure your sin will find you out. I was thinking back to years ago, and I've told this story before, but I remember one night, two other guys and myself decided that we were gonna spend the night. We probably told our parents we're gonna be at one of the other people's house or on their porch or something like that. But we decided to camp out in a field. And back in those days, the field would be about from here. The road would have been from about here to our playground, and that's about how deep the field was. So it wasn't very deep. And then across that road there was a yard, and then a house, and then we were in a housing area and a pretty good size addition. And we decided we were gonna sleep out in the back of this field at the tree line where a fence was and everything. And we decided to do that. And so as guys are, going to sleep is not the plan when you stay up all, when you sleep over. The plan is to do something at night. And so we decided we were going to do some things at night, and we had played some ball and done some things like that. Well, now it's getting very late, and everybody's in bed, and I suppose it was midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we decided that our neighbors, the ones that always gave us trouble, they didn't like our motorcycles. They didn't like us playing softball and hitting the ball in their yard. They didn't like some of the things that others did, like putting fish in their mailbox and stuff. They didn't like stuff like that, and they harassed us an awful lot. And we thought, you know what, here it is, 2 o'clock in the morning. Surely they're asleep now, and maybe they don't want to be asleep. And so we voted on who was going. There's three of us, so that makes it always a good clean vote. And we voted on Jeff being the guy that was going to go wake up those neighbors. And we thought that was the greatest idea. I mean, we thought that was a brilliant, brilliant idea. By the way, if you're ever going to knock on people's windows in the middle of the night, don't knock on the windows across the street from where you're sleeping. Amen? I mean, that's just total brain dead moment for us as we decided to do that. So we're back here in the back of the lot. This guy runs across the lot and runs across the street, goes over, and all of a sudden we hear bang, 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 bang. 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, lights are going on all over the place. We thought that was the funniest thing, and he ran around, you know, and he came back over, and we're all laying there just laughing. We thought that was the funniest thing. And then all of a sudden, we saw a big bright light coming through the neighborhood. I thought, I wonder what that's all about. And one of the guys said, oh, he said, my dad's got an important job. You know, they're probably searching, you know, and making sure it's safe out here. And this police car was coming through, and this big bright light. I'm talking about it lit up everywhere it went. And this big bright light, it's shining coming down the street, you know, and it's going around and going all over the place. And all of a sudden, it's so funny how we thought, you know, I wonder what's going on. Boys, I'm glad we're out here so we can see this. Yeah, that's really what we're thinking. You notice the brain dead remained for a little longer. And we're just kind of thinking, well, this is really cool. And all of a sudden, it hit us as the police car is right about at that field. It hit us that, hey, maybe the neighbors called the police. And right then, that light was shining on us. Bing! And I mean, it just lit up the sky. I mean, it would be really fun to someday watch the DVD of that and just see the look in our faces, honestly. Because it's like, uh-oh. And here comes the neighbor. And here comes the sheriff. And here they come walking through that field and coming back. Needless to say, it was not a very pleasant evening at all. Now, I say all that to say, first of all, it's really stupid to knock on. Anyway, but be sure your sin will find you out. It always does. It always does. You say, oh, you could have got it. If you'd just been a little smarter, but be sure your sin will find you out. I always go back to the story of Achan. And God had told the people, I'm gonna take down Jericho. I'm going to do what I said I would do, and I will knock the walls of Jericho down. But you do what I told you to do. And the people marched around the walls of Jericho, and God said, He said, look, when I do that and you take over Jericho, everything in there is mine. God said, it is all mine. It is not yours. You don't get all the things. You don't get all of that belongs to me. I'm the one that knocked down the walls, and I'm the one that this all belongs to. And one man, Achan, decided, you know what? God's not going to, he won't miss a wedge of gold. He won't miss a wedge of silver. He won't miss some of the garments of the folks. And Achan went in, and he stole from the city of Jericho. And Achan had the perfect sin. I mean, honestly, he got away with it, didn't he? Well, for a while he did. And then all of a sudden, his sin affected the whole nation, and the whole nation is defeated by little Ai, because God's blessing wasn't on him anymore. By the way, let me remind you something, moms, dads, parents, grandma, grandpa, you know, church member. Your sin is not just a private matter. Your sin does affect others around you. It affects those that you say you love. I mean, if for no other reason to quit sinning, it would be to protect those around you that you say that you love. But Achan, of course, risked his family by taking the accursed thing, and he hid it in his tent, and he thought, boy, this is perfect. And then they lose the battle to Ai, and all of a sudden Joshua says, what in the world is going on? What? Why is it God's hand? We just saw a great miracle. The walls of Jericho fell down, and now we can't even defeat piddly little Ai. And sure enough, Joshua talks to God, and God says, you need to find out who committed this sin, because somebody did. And boy, I could just imagine Achan, and the Bible is very clear how it goes about, because first they pull out the tribe of Judah. So now Achan is in that group. And next they pull out the family of the Zarhites, and Achan is still in that, and now it's getting narrowed down. And you know, God always does find out, doesn't he? He always does. And next they pull out the family of Zabdi, and now Achan is just in a small group as Zabdi's son. And then they said, Achan, you're the one. And he was. He was the guilty one. And of course, Achan, his family, they lost their lives because of their sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. Eventually, it does. Eventually. But I want to talk to you about how it often shows up in some of these areas. I have some areas I want to talk about tonight. And certainly your sin and my sin, it will find itself out in some of these areas that we're going to talk about tonight. And literally, it's like an animal that is stalking you. You know, it's like, or maybe if you're running from the police, it's like them, you know, looking for you. And like we were, of course, we weren't running. We thought it was kind of cool at first. But it's like an animal that is stalking, a mountain lion maybe, or some dangerous animal that is stalking its prey. I mean, our sin, our unconfessed sin, that thing we thought we got away with, it is like there's a, you kind of look over your shoulder all the time. You kind of wonder, okay, God, when is the paddle going to be got out? What? Because you know, I know we're not going to get away with it. Be sure your sin will find you out. And when sin finds us out, the Bible says when it's finished, it brings forth death. There's always pain. That's why, you know, it's so amazing as Christians that we can go to God. 1 John 1:9. And you know, a lot of times we'd accuse, well, you're just 1 John 1:9 Christians. Amen. Praise God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Amen. Always. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll be a 1 John 1:9 Christian because I'm a sinner. And you should also be that, because it does not make sense to let sin stalk you, because it's going to get you if you don't get it right. Something bad always happens. Be sure your sin will find you out. Let me give you some things here. Number one, sin will find us out in our character. It always, I mean, it will make a mark in your life, and it will do it just one area is your character. Your character. People who are involved in sin it affects your character. It always does. It never fails. I was giving a devotional, and by the way, all of our senior young men, they all took a time. They gave devotions. All of them did an excellent job, and we laughed. We had a lot of good times, but it was also very serious. And I had just talked to a young man who I had pastored down in Shreveport, Louisiana. He had called me, and he mentioned a young lady who used to sing in groups like the one that we just heard a little while ago. And he mentioned this young lady, and this young lady she was a beautiful girl, had a beautiful voice, sang for the Lord, and was serving God, and got involved in some very, very bad sin, and just totally ruined her life. And he mentioned her name just out of the blue. He mentioned her name. He said, oh, and by the way, so-and-so mentioned her name. He said, boy, preacher, you would never, never know who she was. Sin has taken a toll on her. It you know, sin finds us out, and it'll find us out in our character. You know, a person who has sin in their life, they are going to show it up, and it's going to show up in their character. Once you start giving into sin, the Bible says that you become a servant to sin. Your character is affected. Once you start giving in to being lazy, for example, you just pretty much are lazy. Once you give in to lying, you're pretty much a liar. Once you give in to cheating, you're a cheater. Once you give in to stealing, you become a thief. Once you give in to pornography, and it shows up in our character. Once we give in to our flesh, you know, again, I'm talking about there's no battle. You just give in. Your character shows that. Your decisions are fleshly decisions. Your decisions are emotional decisions. Somebody says to me, maybe they used to say all the time, well, whatever God says, but now they say, well, I don't feel like. Oh, let me tell you something. I know there's a character problem there. I know there's something going on there. Amen? There always is. It's always true, folks. Always is. If you live by the flesh with the things you do, it's going to show up in your character. Your whole being is going to be fleshly and is going to have the philosophy of, well, if it feels good, then that's what's most important. That is not what's most important. I'm not preaching about that right now. But I can tell you this, once you become in subjection or servant to your flesh, it shows up in your character. Once you're a servant to sin, that shows up in your character. Once you are a servant to peer pressure, that always shows up in your character. You will not stand for anything. You're more concerned with what everybody else thinks. And it just shows up in character. I like somebody that takes a stand. I like to see people take a stand, no matter what. Well, so-and-so's mad. Well, such-and-such got upset. Take your stand on what's right. Amen? But again, when people, you know, people that used to take a stand, now they're saying, well, I'm kind of worried about what so-and-so thinks. I'm kind of worried about what such-and-such thinks. I start to think, there's a character problem. There's something wrong. Sin finds you out in your character. Once we become subjection, once we become a servant to the world, subjected to the world, understand this. Understand, it shows up in our character. We ourselves become very worldly. When I see folks who used to be very solid in standing on the things of God, and they used to be very solid in their beliefs, And I see him starting to waffle a little bit. I think, is it like Achan? Again, I'm just saying this is one of the things where sin finds us out in our character. Look at Romans 6, just talking about character here. Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. This would be a great challenge for someone tonight you've recognized that maybe there are some character issues where your character is not what it used to be. Romans 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign. The word reign there means to sit on the throne. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let it be the king of your life. Don't let it be in charge of your life. Don't let sin control you. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion, but people who are in sin are letting it have dominion, and it shows in your character. Instead of doing right, in fact, there are those perhaps that used to, when the preacher said, hey, you need to do right, they would say, amen, that's right. But all of a sudden, that changes. And all of a sudden, you can't really, or they make some excuse or something like that. Why? Because their character has been affected, and it's showing. There's sin. There's unconfessed sin. Romans 6, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Again, it always shows up who you are obeying. Always. You can spot, you know, people in the ministry or people in leadership, they can spot a rebel from pretty far off. You can spot it. Why? Because of who they've been obeying. It's very obvious. And this subjection to the world, to sin, to the flesh, to peer pressure and all of that, you're not going to hide that. That's going to show up in your character. Who are you yielding to? Are you yielding to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart? Or are you yielding to this sinfulness that you just aren't willing to make right with God? It shows up in our character. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Our character is determined by who or what we yield to. And you know what? If we're yielding to sin, it's going to show up in our character. Those folks that, you know, they just keep doing right and standing for right and being vocal about doing right. You know, I understand there could be a hypocrite among them. There could be some that just say it and they don't really live it. I realize that. But I'm just saying somewhere along the line, it's going to show up in their character. It's going to show up in your character. If a person lies, they're a liar. If a person steals, they're a thief. If we're fleshly, it shows up in our character. We live for the flesh. If we're worried about peer pressure, then it's going to show up. And if we make our decisions based on that, believe me, there's going to be some sin, and it's going to show up in our character. And what's the result? The result is we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We are just not going to do it. Sin will find you out in your character. I would look in a mirror tonight, and I would look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, God, what's my character like? Okay, and if my character, are you a liar? Are you a thief? Are any of these things, are you fleshly? Are you carnal? Do you love the world instead of loving God? Or I love God, but I want some of the world too. Then understand, there's probably something in there, some sin in there that you're holding on to. And you maybe block it out, service after service after service. See, I know how that can be. We can do it. Oh, can we do it? We can put up our wall. We can put up our facade and smile through the service and have all kinds of wicked stuff going on right here in our hearts. But, you know, be sure. Your sin will find you out. Okay, so you've been able to mask your character. All right, here's another one. Sin will not only find us out in our character, but sin will find us out in our company. No question about that. Psalm 1 tells us that. Look at it. Psalm 1. No question about that. Someone said this, a man is known by the company he keeps. And that is so true. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That company right there is not very good company. That is not good company. Not the counsel of the ungodly, not good company. Not standing in the way of sinners, that's not good company. Not sitting in the seat of the scornful, that is not good company. No way. And so God says the man that doesn't participate with that company, that man will be blessed. But you know, that scripture teaches me that sin will find us out by the company we keep. You know, you can tell a person by who they hang around with. I mean, it's just very obvious. That's why God told Israel to separate from unbelievers. I mean, honestly, if you ran around with people who drank alcohol all the time, eventually it's going to kind of look like maybe you're drinking alcohol too. You run around with people that cuss and swear and tell dirty jokes and all of that, then it's going to be assumed that probably you've listened for a while, but you're probably doing the same thing. Again, it's just sin finding you out through your company. Do you understand why they do background checks on people today? They want to find out what you've been doing. They want to find out who you talk to. They want to find out who your company is. Why? Because they want to see if there's anything in there they should be concerned about. Employers are doing it now all the time. Do you understand there are many employers who are requiring Facebook information? What do you suppose they're checking? They want to find out who you're talking to and what you're talking about. You say, I don't want anybody to know. Really? Anyway, sin finds you out in your company. And if you run with these kinds of people, you run with people who are rebels, then more than likely you've got that kind of spirit yourself. You run with people that gripe and complain all the time, then you probably are a griper and a complainer. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, 24. Again, not a guarantee, not always true, but often sin will find us out in the company that we keep. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Because God doesn't want you to be an angry man. God doesn't want you to be a furious man. God doesn't want you to be affected by that. But again, if I just choose to hang around that kind of a person, then probably I'm that kind of a person. That's just the assumption. God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be separate. Somebody says, well, I don't like that. By the way, that is the big mark on this kind of a church. Why do you talk about that? We need to just love everybody. I get slammed about it every week. You know, where's your love? It's like telling my doctor he doesn't love me because he tells me that I'm not healthy. Amen. By the way, I didn't write it. God wrote it. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Why? Because I don't want to be like that. But if I decide to go ahead and be among them, then I must like that. So if I'm going to be around folks that think it's all right to look at pornography and folks that think it's all right to listen to music that cusses and swears and curses God, and if I'm going to choose that crowd, then I must like it. So be sure, my sin will find me out by the company I keep. My sin will find me out by what kind of CDs are in my car. My sin will find me out by what kind of things I watch on my television. My sin will find me out by what kind of things are on my computer. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, you know, No, listen to me. I'm telling you, sin finds us out in the company that we keep. And, you know, pastors can tell, youth directors can tell, Sunday school teachers often can tell. You just kind of watch the little crowd. And when that little crowd forms, if you know one, then you know them all. Now, they're different, and they have different thoughts and different ideals and different this and different that, but there's something that keeps them in common. And I'm going to tell you something. If it's rebellion, then there's a problem. And again, I say this tonight because whether it's found out with the company you keep or not, he already knows. He already knows. Sin will find you out in your character. Sin will find you out in your company. Number three, and this is often true, not always true, but sin will find you out in your children. Boy, that can be an amazing thing. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. I know we live in a different day. I understand times are getting tougher, and they are getting tougher. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. The Bible says, for I have told him, talking about Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons, Eli's sons, made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they ended up paying that price. But Eli also paid that price. And the key here, Eli's restrained them not. That was his sin. How did anybody know about it? Well, they found out because of his sons. Because his sons did their own thing. They did what they wanted to do, and it was against God. And God took them. You say, well, I'm really tired. Yeah, I know about being tired. But I'm going to tell you something, parents. You better restrain your kids. You better be their parent. Amen. Somebody has to be. God chose you to be. And there is a word that has been forgotten in the English language as far as parenting is concerned. It's the word no. Again, when it's an issue of right or wrong, that is a word that has been forgotten. We just, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I don't want to turn them off. They're already turned off. What are you talking about? Eli could have said, well, Hophni and Phinehas, I understand they're going against God and they're going against the priesthood and all of that, but I don't want to run them off. They're already run off. What are you talking about, Eli? By the way, God's the one that said, Eli, I hold you accountable because you restrained them not. It is a sin not to restrain your children. That's what you're supposed to teach them. And restraint is teaching. Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. That means when they're little, you train them up. You say, well, you know, you're not allowed to spank. Where'd you find that? Where did you see that law? My Bible says we are supposed to spank. My Bible says we're supposed to have discipline. As parents, we're supposed to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Do you understand? Your children can be a reflection of you. And our sins. Oh, I'm amazed how many parental sins are found out through children. It happens all the time. Laziness. Griping. It amazes me how some of the griping that a young person will do, there's no question it came right from their parents. And I think, what in the world are you doing? Why do you want your child to be a griper? I mean, they roll their eyes at you because you told them to eat their green beans. And you're teaching them to gripe about authority and leaders? Rebellion? Oh, yeah, if it's in the home, it'll show up often in the kid. Not always. Not always. I know some very rebellious parents, and they have good kids. But you can usually tell. You can usually tell. Again, it's not always true, but sin will find you out in your children. Number four, sin will find you out in your conscience. I know you got away with it. And I know, boy, I've got everybody fooled. They do not know what I do. There's only one thing about that. Now, obviously, I've already said God knows, but guess what? Somebody else knows what you do. You know. That's why I preach the way I preach. That's why we want it in our youth department. We want the preaching to be what it is. I know it doesn't always make everybody happy. I understand it's not fun. I walked by one night and Kendall was preaching back there. And I mean, he was screaming, hollering, yelling. I thought, man, that guy, you know. And the first thing, I thought, somebody's not going to be happy. And then I said, well, praise God. Amen. We're not here to make everybody happy. But that conscience, you know that conscience, isn't that something how that works? Man, we can have so much fun doing our sin, can't we? Yeah, I know, don't smile. Oh, I'm not going to smile. No way, that's my character. But we have so much fun doing that sin. And then when we get away with it, we feel pretty good about it. You know what? I mean, we really do. Nobody knows. Nobody has the slightest idea that I did that thing. And the longer that goes, we feel even better and better about it. And our character hasn't shown it up, and our children haven't shown it up. And it just seems like, you know, I think I've gotten away with this. I'm not running with people that do that because nobody knows that I do that. And no, this is perfect. And then we sit in a service, and the preacher preaches a message about the love of God. Has absolutely nothing to do with your sin. Has nothing to do with anything you've been going through or anything like that. But God points his finger at you during the service. And his Holy Spirit starts to convict your soul. And all of a sudden you say, well, I know what I did. Nobody else knows what I did, but I know what I did. Yeah, sin will find you out in your conscience because one day it'll gnaw at you. One day it'll really bug you. Preaching will bring it out. Reading your Bible will bring it out, so you quit reading your Bible. Prayer always will bring it out. Isn't it tough to pray? I mean, really pray to God when there's unconfessed sin in your life. Because you know the verse, the Lord will not hear me. So you know what you do? You either get right or you quit praying. So now you quit reading your Bible, now you quit praying because you're just not going to get right, but now your conscience is really bothering. You don't like that. And we don't like that. We like to feel good, don't we? Yeah, we do. And then you go to church and the preacher preaches. It may not have anything to do with that. But you get convicted again. I'm sick and tired of all this stuff. All this stuff, what do you mean? Well, I read the Bible and I'm convicted. I pray and I'm convicted. And then I think I'd come to church and have fun and enjoy myself, and there I get convicted. And I know those people are judging me. I know they are. They think they're better. No, they're actually just like you. We're all pretty much the same. All in the same boat. And it's not the people. It's not the preacher. It's not even the preaching. It's God's Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me that we're hooked on pornography, that we're looking at it, feasting on pornography, and look at me and say, I'm just not being fed anymore. Oh. Yeah. I know people that have stolen, lied, cheated, and everything else. And you know, their biggest problem? Well, all the hypocrites in the church. But here's the thing, your conscience. Now you, and you come to a point. Okay, what am I going to do? Well, you quit reading your Bible. You quit praying. You quit going soul winning, because when there's unconfessed sin in your life, it's tough standing on somebody's doorstep going to tell them about Jesus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It's very easy. I'm just going to go down to a Burger King church so I can feel good. And people do. People do. But I'm going to tell you this, your conscience is still with you. And God's Spirit, if you're saved, God's Spirit is still with you. You can run all you want to run, but be sure, your sin will find you out. I don't want to live life looking over my shoulder. I don't want to live life thinking God's got a semi-trailer headed for me. I don't want to live my life like that. You know what? That's why I'm a 1 John 1:9 Christian. Amen. I want to keep it real short with God. If I mess up, I want to get right with Him immediately. Amen. I would encourage you to do the same, honestly. Because be sure, your sin will find you out. It'll find you out in your character. It'll find you out in your company. It can find you out in your children. It can find you out in your conscience. But number five, the last thing, sin will find you out in the consequences, always. Because we'll never ever beat the scripture that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're never going to get around that. This spring, take your little flower seed and plant it in the ground, and pop, there's going to be a little flower just like that seed. You take your cucumber seed and you plant that, and boom, you're going to have a cucumber plant. Okay, you can hope all you want that you plant the cucumber seed and it's going to grow a cow so you can eat steak. That's always been my desire, and it has never worked yet. But I promise you, whatever seed you plant, that's what's going to grow. And it is as sure as I'm standing up here tonight, be sure your sin will find you out in the consequences. How many have thought they were going to get away with it, and none of them ever do? I mean, going back to Jim Baker and his thing, and political leaders and their thing, and just all the different things, you know? The consequences always come out. The couple with their immorality, nobody's going to know. 9 months later, everybody knows. Or you get an abortion and you always know. I don't know how many ladies I've counseled with that years and years ago got an abortion and they still have nightmares of the fact that they murdered their child. The consequences. Consequences. People with cancer from smoking, people who have literally fried their brains with drugs, people who have ruined their liver and their mind with alcohol, people who you can't even, there's men cannot even look a woman in the eyes because they've looked at so much perverted garbage on the internet. And it leaves all that junk in your mind. People who lie all the time and they find that they have less and less and less friends because they've lied to all of them. People who gripe, the thief who goes to jail, the lazy who have nothing. Yeah. Those who are involved in rock music and all that's involved in that whole thing, the Hollywood groups and all of that, and you say, what's the consequence of that? You never do anything for God. I have never, ever, I'm serious about this thing. Someone who is listening to that and watching all that kind of stuff, I've never found one that is doing anything for God. They may come to church. I'm glad you do. Praise the Lord, and I'm for you. Hey, amen. Glory to God. But do you want to do something for God? Because you can't worship the devil and do something for God. Yeah. And eventually, when those consequences take place, everybody finds out. And that's an unfortunate thing. But sin, just like with Achan. You know, Achan, all of a sudden, he's standing there. And forget about the fact that I had the perfect hiding place in my tent. Forget about the fact nobody knew. Now I'm standing in front of the whole congregation. It's my fault 3,000 died at Ai. It's my fault God's blessing is not on us any longer. It's my fault my family is standing here with me. It's my fault that we stand here in the middle of all these people that we loved and we said we loved and they said they loved us. And it's my fault they're about to take stones and kill all of us. The consequences are a terrible, terrible thing. You say, well, what's the solution? 1 John 1:9. Yeah. 1 John 1:9. You know, I go back to that night that we sent Jeff to go knock on the window and the stupidity of all of it. But the truth of the matter is, what if we'd have been arrested? What if in knocking on the window would have broken? What if somebody's house that same night would have been broken into and a lot of stuff would have been stolen? What if that had been going on? What if we got blamed for that? What if I'd have gone to jail? What if I'd have gone to campus, Brother Letson, and spent a year in campus or whatever they had back then for people like that? What wouldn't have happened in my life? No, better is to say, God, I messed up. I need you to forgive me. I don't want to mess up again. I want you to help me. I want you to help me to do right. I don't want to run from sin. I don't want to look over my shoulder because as sure as I'm standing here, folks, we need to be sure our sin will find us out. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. In a moment, the invitation. Is there someone here tonight who'd say, preacher, God's speaking to my heart about something in my life? Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that cleanses. Thank you that we can be saved. Thank you that we can be forgiven. Thank you that you don't hold anything against us. Thank you that we can get right with you. And I pray folks will tonight. I pray that whatever there may be, and I don't know of anything. I'm not after anybody. Don't have that right and don't do it. I just preach. But God, all over this room, I believe there could be folks that there's something they've held on to for a long time. Please, God, help them to be able to walk out of here not looking over their shoulder anymore. Help them to know that their sin will find them out one way or another. It always does. And to get it right, get it confessed, and to go on righteous, clean before their Lord. I pray you'd remind us, Lord, that to go into the holy place, the priest would have to wash his hands and wash his feet and have to be clean. And Lord, we need some folks to be able to go into that holy place. So I pray we'd be clean. In Jesus' name, amen.